I want to find a way to say this simply. Life is a journey to yourself. To say that it's that far away is an exaggeration. To say that it's that far away is an exaggeration, because it's that far away. The journey to yourself, in a sense, takes the batting of an eye, but it really also takes a lifetime. It is, in a way, a mythic journey. And it kind of follows a path. And it doesn't follow someone else's path. It follows your path. And it's hard to know that you even have a path. Because mostly we enter life and rather quickly get confused by it. I'm getting to observe some of this very close at hand with my granddaughter and now my grandson. And how clear-eyed we are in the very beginning. We're looking at I'll put it simply, we're looking at God the minute we open our eyes. We're looking at oneness. We're looking at what is. We're looking at ourself immediately. And it's interesting that every child opens their eyes with a different sensibility. Some go, and others start to cry. Some reach in, some recoil. Some want what they see, some do not. But here you are, one way or another. You're here, and this thing is starting to unfold. And it's starting to take hold. My granddaughter arrived with an enormous sense of availability and recognition and embrace. But I'm starting to watch the seduction of what you might call the material world and how it has an inevitable hold on all of us. And there is no escaping it. None. It has to do what it does. I don't know why, other than it seems that the unraveling of what is raveled is kind of what it's about. And it's hard for me to be with Talia and watch some of these seductions taking place and knowing she has to go through it. She has to go through the stuff with her girlfriends, you know, and what her hair looks like, and whatever the stuff is that gets you in the world. And my grandson is still so new to all this, I can't figure him out yet. But he's just like, oh, give it to me, give it to me. And he's wide-eyed and present and smiling all the time and just at ease with all of this. And I'm so fascinated by them, and I'm so sad that they're going to have to go through all the stuff we have gone through, because it's so hard. The journey is so hard. And it's not easy for anybody. And if there are people you love deeply, you don't want them to go through it. And most of us, as hard as it's been, it's not anywhere near as hard as it is for others. what's so painful on some level is that you're there when you're born. You're there. Maybe only for a moment, but you're there. You are unseparated from anything. You're just present with it, with being. And then differentiation starts to take place, and you lose that, and we all do. And it's a big process of loss. If you're lucky, there's some initiation that takes place somewhere in your life that tells you, one, you're okay, two, that you are one with all there is. But most of us don't exactly get the message. A lot of times it happens when you're young. I remember for me it was in the sandbox and I was 5 years old. And I was sitting there playing in the sand, and then I suddenly was aware that although it was daytime, it was completely night and dark. The sky was completely dark, and there were billions of what I called wheels spinning, very Ezekiel-like. Very, very like multi-universes everywhere, galactic forms spinning. And I was like, huh. I couldn't get over the fact that the sky was black in the middle of the day, and all these forms were so odd, and they were like my own skull. And then I was back in the sandbox. And I remember going, huh, huh. And then I went away. But it was important, and important enough that it came back years later as a memory. And there are things that connect for you during your lifetime that suddenly separate you from the moment. And there's all sorts of things, sex being a big one. And you get into this oneness again, just this oneness. And then you're back in the world. In many tribal cultures, they have real initiations. They're often painful, or they're drug-induced, or there were, in ancient times, ritualistic moments where people were taken on the journey back to themselves or something approximating that. And people would sort of wake up and then put their life in order, and what they would start to do is say, I want to be back with myself. I don't want to be spun out into the fiction of life. I want to be back in the truth of who I am. And for the people for whom that happens, they look for the path back. What is the path there? And what we discover when you start to look for a path is that there are people out there who have actually discovered paths, and that they have talked about them, they've preached about them. You know, and some of them are called saints. Some of them are great teachers. You have people like Buddha, who walked into the world and came into the world in such privilege, he had no sense of pain or suffering or discomfort or anything. Life was really beautiful for him. Supposedly, that's the myth. And then he goes outside and he sees people suffering and dying, and he really becomes convinced that he had been living in an illusion and that the truth is suffering and dying. And so he wants to confront that. And how does he deal with that? And he spends years in deprivation, and we all know the Buddhist story. It's an extraordinary story. But he ultimately sits beneath a Bo tree, a Bodhi tree, really, and he won't move until he gets to the core of all this. And this is after years of suffering. And what happens then is so powerful that every illusion, every drama, everything that can pull him out of himself comes at him. And he just goes, no. Or he may not even go, no. He just goes, okay. Mm-hmm. 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 Yep. 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 Mm-hmm. I get it. I get it. All these things come at him, and he doesn't get caught by them. He really just sees them for what they are, which is stuff. Just stuff that comes at you. And he just doesn't so much not react as just not get caught by them. And then he goes, oh. He finds something happening by not getting caught. He finds that he's in this place that he's always been. Always. That all this stuff has been happening in the stillness of his being. And that by not reacting to everything, he finds a place of repose, no matter what's being thrown at him. Now, we don't all get our Bo tree. We don't all get to sit for however long it took him, and I forget how long they said it was. We don't get to have that time out of daily life to do that. We get little moments if we meditate. You know, you get a half hour in the morning, maybe some time at night, and you get these little moments of sitting there and going, aha, aha, or aso, aso, this is how it is. And then you get up from your seated position and, you know, and the phone rings and you discover, I don't know, somebody took your credit card, you know? And you go, and you're totally caught. You're back in it. You're just completely back in the drama. And in a sense, I look at Buddha under the Bo tree as an image not of a singular act, but of a life. That we're all basically under that tree. That our entire life is under that tree. And what we are all learning how to do is find a way through all of the distraction of the material world back to the place that is always underlying it, that's always present, always available, always there for you. Finding your way back to it in such a disciplined and meaningful way that you start to go, this is more important to me than all the other stuff that's circling and circulating around me. And you start to quietly let go of the stuff that comes at you. And then life throws more at you. You know, Buddha got everything. Everything that was terrifying and everything that was seductive all came at him. Who in this room has not had the terrifying and the seductive thrown at them? And how many times have we been absolutely overwhelmed by those things? And how many opportunities do we get to rise above it? Or to finally go, it's okay. A lot. It happens over and over and over and over. Mostly we fail. And then we begin a story. Then we tell ourselves, I'm a failure. I'm no good at spiritual work. I'm no good at this. I'm no good at that. And you start to build up something more that needs to be surrendered and gotten rid of. So rather than having spiritual life free you, it enwraps you in a greater deal, a greater sense of delusion. And how do you get through that? How do you get through it? Well, one way is to keep moving forward. One of the great blessings of human life is called getting older. It's hard to believe that that's a blessing, but it gets you past all the shit that you've dealt with in your life, most of it. So much falls away, and you find you don't have to let go of it. It's gone. You know, it's not a hard. It's not hard. It's like, oh, that's my career. Boop, gone. You know, and raising the kids. They're either raised or not raised. You know, they are what they are. At some point, so many of the things that were grabbing you just start to go away. So you don't have to do much. On the other hand, I know people whose careers have fallen away and they haven't let go for a second. And whose children have grown up and are still as demanding and as difficult as they were when they were 2 years old. You know, and people who are locked into their struggles in such a profound way that they have no sense of liberation or freedom. So if age doesn't give it to you, meditation is an approach. Meditation is an approach where you sit and you do, and you let go of all these things you're holding on to. And so you start to feel lighter and freer. and freer. But it's not like there's a done deal. You know, as long as you're alive, stuff's going to come at you. And I don't care how enlightened and how awakened you are, every day you wake up and something is not going to be right. You know, I came here the other day that my car had a flat tire, one of my televisions wasn't working, my internet was having problems. You know, you don't get away from that. It's all there. So what do? You just go, I mean, first of all, I went, oh, shit, which is what I do. And then I said, that's not going to help. And so I woke up the next morning and said, you're going to get the car taken care of, you're going to get the TV taken care of, you're going to do this. You do the stuff that's there. And the stuff that's there is you sitting under the bow tree. That's exactly what's coming at you. And then if your passions come up all of a sudden in the middle of the day and you become unbelievably horny, or suddenly you're worried about the world situation, you know, and the whole world's going to hell, and all of this stuff is coming at you, you know, there you are, caught by the world, caught by stuff. And what you have to do when that happens is go, aha, right. What would Buddha do? What did he do when all that stuff started coming at him? He just sat there and went, yep, Syria, yep, Israel, yep, you know, flat tire, yep, you know, that's what you do, you know, you do your best. It's big stuff and your mind can make it bigger, and if you get a big screen TV, it's even bigger, you know, I mean, it's better in the old days, you know, when you had a little television and Vietnam was in a little square like that, you know, now Syria is like this, and honestly, in the old days, in my old days, you went to the movie theater, and World War II was huge. It was huge on that screen, but it didn't come home with you. You left it at the movie theater, and you saw it on the newspaper, but it wasn't right in front of you all day long. All of this stuff is on the 24-hour news channel, and we're getting endless stuff of life, and what do you do with it? You go, oh my God, I gotta get some Librium, or what do people take now? I don't know what the drugs are. You gotta take this, you gotta get something, you gotta get a drink, you gotta get a smoke, you gotta get something to cool you out from all of this. Or you have to meditate. And in truth, when that becomes the thing you do, it's no different than a drink, and it's no different than a pill. Then meditation's just another thing to get you out of all of this. And I know most of us think, oh, but I'm meditating now, so it's fine. I'm above it all. You know, and that feels like you have achieved something. But in truth, you've just got another fix, another way of dealing with the world and with your problems and with your issues. Not that it's wrong. You don't get addicted exactly in the same way to meditation as you do to other things. But you're always trying to use, one always tries to use meditation, often tries to use meditation as a way out. Or you can call it a way in, but it's also a way from what is. So my feeling is better to do meditation and get free of the problem, but then accept what is. Accept it. And if you can do it without meditation, and I'm not telling you not to meditate because here I am teaching meditation, but I'm trying to tell you about a really powerful practice, which is take it as it comes. Go, okay, yep. So that is a way to live your life. That is important. The path that we are all on is really, truly our own path. A lot of people want to get on someone else's path because it worked. I want to be a Buddhist because Buddhist path worked. So now I'm following Buddhist path. But where does Buddhist path lead to? It led him to enlightenment, but it just leads you into Buddhist path. It doesn't have your end, your result, if you will, of your work is your own effort. It's your own journey. You can't go to somebody else's end and be at your end. It's their end. You have to be on your ride, on your particular journey. And every one of our journeys is absolutely, totally mythic. completely mythic. If you don't see it that way, that's because you're not looking at it in those terms. But I'm a storyteller, so I know myth when I see it. And I can sit with every one of you and tell you your myth. I can tell you your demons that you're fighting. I can tell you the angels that are working with you. I can tell you when the panic modes are coming. I can tell you when the grace is arriving. It's happening for everyone. Everyone is on that ride. And most of us are going, oh no, my life is so terrible, it's so small, I can't do anything, what am I? There's horrible kind of involvement and myopic kind of vision in terms of one's life, and you don't see the journey that you are on, but you are on an amazing ride. You're an amazing ride to what? To what? To this very second. To this. To finally be here. Not to be there, because you're never going to get there. Not to be where you were, because that's gone, but where you are. How to be where you are and present. But I was talking to Brett before about a lot of people want to be present in a way to avoid anything of the past and not to have to face the future. That's hiding in the present. Hiding in the present is not the goal. Being present is the goal. Being here fully. And what you discover is the present has everything that ever was before and ever will be in the future right here. Not in an intellectual mental sense, but in the absolute sense. Everything that ever existed or even didn't exist in the universe is present in this second. And it's being observed through you, through your feelings, through your literal eyes and vision, through your hearing, through your breath. You are touching and experiencing the present. And I will make that with a capital P. This is presence. This is the very thing you have been looking for. And the truth is, when have you not been there? Tell me one second you haven't been there. You can't, because you're always here. But your mind probably has rarely been here. Your mind has been, oh, what happens if I can't make it there on time? And what if I don't buy that stock and I should have bought this one? And what if I, whatever your insanity is, that's usually where you are. And where is that? Well, it's part of the present, to be honest. It really is part of the present. And if you can sit there and watch that going on inside yourself and go, okay. There we go again. You know, you start to understand that all of this is part of how it works. It's how the universe is working. And what we're trying to find our way to is something you knew deeply and wonderfully when you were born, is that there is this sublime truth, beauty, peace, consciousness, love, presence, God, with you all the time. All the time. Not absent for one billionth of a second. Impossible to absent yourself from. It goes nowhere. It is always there. So why are you not always aware of it? Because you are caught in the manifestation of it rather than the space from which it arises. When you sit and meditate, and you let everything fall away, and you get very quiet, and as you let go and let go and let go, you remember, yes, this. Some people want to run into a cave and stay with it. But I got to tell you, caves have drippy ceilings, spiders, you know, it's cold. The caves are not perfect places to go to get away from manifestation. But they do allow you to sit and do nothing, which is great, and it's a wonderful thing. But in Western culture, it's not the way most of us can live. We have to live with the dynamic of going to work, raising children, dealing with illness, all the stuff of life. But if you see all the stuff of life as that stuff, and God and love and spirituality as this stuff, you don't get it. That's not how it works. this stuff is that stuff, and that stuff is this stuff. It's all one thing. It's not separate. It's not compartmentalized. It's one whole. And what Buddha figured out sitting under the Bodhi tree was, aha, I get it. You are looking at what is. Basically, you are looking at God. Every instance of your life. And people who walk around saying, what is God, where is God, all of that, it's like the expression of a profound ignorance. Not to blame them, because we're all lost. We all get lost. Every one of us gets lost. But the awakening or enlightenment that happens is, oh, it's been there all the time. Oh, this is it. And then when you really get that, you just start crying. And you just go, how could I have missed it? How could I have missed it? And then into that awareness, into that beautiful awareness, comes the flat tire, the credit card getting stolen, again, all of the stuff. My career didn't become what it should have become. My kids didn't turn out the way that I wanted them to turn out. Whatever the thing is that keeps coming up. It's not going to change because you are awakened. It's just going to be there. On the other hand, you will look at it through a different lens. You will look at it and you will go, wow. And you get it. Not that you get it like you can hold on to it, because you can't, but you get the flow of it. You get the dynamic, the expression of it. And you also get, and this is really essential, the mystery of it. Because it's a mystery. I walk around all day going, I can't figure it out. What and why and how, and there's no answer to me. Why would anybody put this together? And why are we in it? And why are we caught by it? And how do we get out of it? And do we want to get out of it? And can you get out of it? And yet, nobody wants to leave here. We're terrified of leaving here. And yet, we're all leaving. Everyone's leaving. And nobody faces the fact of that. Everybody's going, everything but that. You know, but the truth is, you're only here for a short little while, and it may just be until another second from now, especially LA and earthquakes and God knows what, you know. It's nothing has permanence. Nothing. And yet we're trying to build these permanent lives. And, you know, and I had this very specific experience of, you know, owning two homes and filling them with tons of furniture and stuff and paintings and art and, you know, all this stuff. And then suddenly my accountant says, you can't own two homes if you're retiring. And my son's moved to, you know, Seattle, and I decide I want to be with my grandchildren. So I pack a house full of stuff in a 70-foot trailer, and I bring it across country, and I move into this house. And it's really after 2 months of misery, finally settling in, and my son's telling me he's getting another job. And he's moving near San Francisco. And I want to be with my grandchildren and all of that. So we get another 70-foot truck, and we pack up the truck. And this is only in 8 months. And we move to another house, and we unpack this house, which we're just in the process of doing. And I have to tell you, there was not one kindly, sweet Buddhist moment in this. not one. It was absolute carping and angry and frustrated and... Nothing's going the way it should be. Everything is constantly in flux. And you have to ask yourself at that moment, what kind of meditator am I? What kind of teacher am I? You know, the idea of showing up here with you guys was like, come on, I can't do it. You know, what am I going to say to you guys? Because I was a total failure the last month. But here's the good part.
Yeah.
I was a total failure for 2 months in Seattle, and I was only a total failure for 1 month in San Rafael. And if I have to do this again in a while, I will get through it, I hope, in 2 weeks. You know? And then 1 week, and then a day, and then whatever it takes, because discombobulating your life is hard. And I think Buddha would have said the same thing. I mean, I've always talked about Buddha and his sitting, that he must have developed hemorrhoids. You know, we don't get that in the mythology. You don't get that he was doing the whole time, but he was. You know, I mean, look, it's hard. Life is hard, and it's a journey that we're all struggling through. But you find your way back. You find your way back, and you just sit down, and you go, ah, yes, the rhythms return. You find out, and you remember who you are, and everything is fine for a while. And you can handle some of the stuff that comes at you. But when you're trying to move with 70-foot truck worth of stuff, it kind of says to you, buy a yurt. You know, get one of these little things that collapses and you can just go somewhere and lift the yurt up and you're going to be fine. But clearly we can no longer continue to move around with that much stuff. And we have a whole house full of stuff here. And so the question that's been in my mind is, why did I spend so much of my life getting stuff? Because the getting rid of stuff comes faster than you can possibly imagine. You hit 70, I'm telling you, it is shocking. Or you give up your day job or whatever it is, you stop, you're retired. You know, whether you're retired from a satisfying career or an unsatisfying one, you're done. And then you have all your stuff. And what do you do with it? And now you got to move somewhere that's probably cheaper because you're not going to have the income you had. And how do you pull that off? It's all part of what Buddha taught, letting go. You have to let go. And you don't know what it's like to let go until you have a lot of stuff and then have to actually do it. That's where you learn the real lessons of what is being taught here. We all are going to go through it, every one of us. I don't care who you are. And if you end up being one of the lucky people who get to hold on to everything up to the very last second, then the big shock happens. There you are, you've lived your whole life, I had it all, I've got it all, I won the game, you know, he who has everything wins, or whatever the line used to be. He who has the most toys wins. You come to that very last moment and they say, let it go. Time to let it go. They haven't been through moving cross country with a 70-foot trailer. They haven't been through having to get rid of things. They haven't let go of anything ever. You know, and then suddenly there they are, and you have 1/1,000,000th of a second to let it go. And if you think it's easy to do it at that point, you know it's not. You know it's not. Letting go at the last moment of your life takes a life of practice. To finally go, to finally realize this is that you've always been there. To finally realize that God was in front of you 24/7 and you never saw it. What a weird wake-up call that is. What do you mean? I was looking at God the whole time and I missed him, her, it? What? That you don't want to know that at that moment. Trust me, it's like the saddest thing ever to have read a whole novel and realize you forgot everything you just read. You were always paying attention to something else. It's like you missed the story. You missed the ride. You don't want to miss this ride. This is it, guys. You're on it. It's not a different ride. It's your ride. And it's your ride with all the stuff that's working and not working, with all the good stuff and all the bad stuff. And I got to tell you, on some level, the universe doesn't care. It loves you to pieces, but whether you become Steven Spielberg or whether you become, you know, somebody living in Syria, you know, it's your journey, your myth is going to be through your configuration. And everyone is going to find God in it if they're predisposed to do that. I've been criticized before for always saying the universe instead of God, and I should say God more. And truly, for me, it's all the same thing. The word God is so off-putting to some people, but trust me, whatever this is and whatever name you give it, it is holy ground. It is unbelievably real and beautiful and alive and dynamic. This is it. This is it. And you don't want to go through it just worrying about your flat tire. You just don't want to make that your journey. And if that is your journey, use this practice, use sitting still to bring you back to something, to bring you back to stillness, to that still point that goes, this feels like me. This is who I am. This is before all of your insanity. This is before all of the drama, all of the past tense, all of the future fears. This is just, and it's always there. Not exactly as a refuge, but it can be. But it's there as a touchstone that says, I am here. This is. Truth is. And this is as true as it gets, guys. It doesn't get more true than this. So that's the simple version of what I want to say. I think it's simple. To me, it's simple. We're on a journey, and the journey is that long, meaning to get to yourself, it takes that long, but most of it takes a lifetime, and the Buddhists will say a few hundred million lifetimes. And the reason for that, really, is because we're so deluded. We're so deeply deluded by this. And I walk around all day, and I see people in their delusion, and I go, wow, how are they ever going to get to this? How are they ever going to get to this? And I don't know. I don't know, because they're so invested in the delusion, so completely identified with it, so informed by it. Their identity is delusion. How do you get them from delusion to truth? Well, if there's no initiation, if something doesn't happen to move them into it, they're just going to stay deluded until they die. And then your deathbed, now look, I'm telling you stuff that I'm presenting as truth. I may be full of shit, but basically my sense of it is your deathbed is going to be, oh, or, oh. You know, the great painting of, you know, Christ sending some to heaven and some to hell, you know, that everyone going to hell is like this, and everyone else is like that. I mean, it's kind of like that. How do you get to that moment and not condemn yourself for having missed everything along the way? How do you get to the face of pure love, having never loved, and feel suddenly love? How do you do that? It's not easy. This is practice. Spiritual work, meditation, is practice. Some people say it's practice for dying, which in a way it is. It's also practice for living. It's both. But in the end, just live, and then you will just die. And it will all be, ah, oh, yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh, I get it, right. And death will be like that too, oh, yeah, right. And that's awakening. That's totality. You don't have to be dramatic about it. You don't have to be grieving about it, sad about it, or you can be. It's fine. Either way. Okay, that's the way it is. That's what we're working on. Everybody who comes here is working on that. And if you remember to work on it, at least you'll feel you have made progress on the path. If you don't work on it, you go through an entire life and you've never set foot on the path, except for the fact that you've never been off it. It's kind of your choice. Do you want to be on the journey and awake to it? Or do you want to be on the journey with your eyes closed and stumble through? And what can we do to help people along the way? Complicated. But be present. Be yourself. Be real. That's the most you can be. Be honest. Be true with people. Don't hide stuff from them. Don't pull back because it will hurt them. Find a way not to hurt them. Find a way to speak what's real. Be authentically yourself. And people will come to you and they will seek you out. They won't know why, they won't know how. But if you become connected to self, you will be the doorway for them to connect to self. Because you will be their self. You are the self. I mean, there's only one self. We all think of it as myself. It's not myself, it's the self. But if you're open to yourself, then you're open to everyone's self. And everyone who comes to you will be in the presence of themselves. That's a great gift. And that's about the most you can do. And then if you want to, you know, make talks like this or sit and meditate or do that, you can do that if that's your calling. It's not everybody's calling. But if you want to do that, great. But be careful. If you get too pontifical, you're going to turn more people off than you'll turn them on. So try to be truly, deeply honest and open and real and let it flow whatever way it wants to. And it may add up and it may not add up, and it doesn't matter. Just do what you do. Anyway, I love you guys. Thank you for coming. Blanche and I will be back in 2 weeks, actually, thanks to dentists and a few other things. So we will be back. It'll be 2 weeks from tomorrow. There'll be class here. And I'll try to get back more often because we're only, supposedly, according to the GPS, 5.5 hours away. So we'll try to make the trip. And if I start teaching in San Rafael, which I think I'll do anytime you guys feel like making a journey north, come up. Okay? So anyway, thank you all very much for coming.